Catching you up on local news, COVID-19 numbers are continuing to rise across the state with a record 1,537 North Carolinians now in the hospital with the virus. Governor Roy Cooper yesterday announced a new county alert system to identify the hardest hit counties and help local officials make decisions on how to move forward. Here's part of what he had to say.
Today, we're introducing a county alert system to identify North Carolina counties with the highest levels of community spread and offer specific recommendations for how working together with us can bring down their numbers. Counties of concern are designated as red, orange, or yellow, using a combination of three specific metrics. These are from the same set of metrics that we use every week to give an update on how North Carolina is doing with COVID-19. The system will help our counties make decisions about what more can be done to slow the spread of the virus. The system also includes additional recommendations for individuals, businesses, community organizations, and public officials on actions that they should take. Simply put, this new county alert system shows our state's viral hotspots. But let me be clear. The entire state is experiencing widespread transmission. Cases across the country are surging right now, overwhelming some hospitals, forcing states to go backward with their COVID-19 restrictions. Right now, North Carolina's metrics are increasing, not surging. But a surge can happen quickly. If officials, business, community, and faith leaders and people who live in these orange and red counties can work with us to take effective action to bring down their numbers, we can protect our state's hospital system and save lives. And it can prevent us from having to take significant steps backward.
Governor Roy Cooper there. The county alert system classifies counties as red, orange, or yellow. Red is worse. Yellow is better, but still not great. Numbers are increasing across the state. All of the Triangle's counties, including Orange, Durham, Wake, and Chatham, are all classified as yellow. But as holiday season approaches, health experts are urging everyone, regardless of where we are, to stay vigilant and double down on those basic precautions. Wear a mask, wash your hands, maintain social distancing, and avoid large gatherings. On campus, UNC this week revealed that 56 students were removed from campus housing this past semester for violating COVID-19 rules. That number was part of a new report on compliance. University officials say they'll release new reports every quarter. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more on the first one.
Debuting on the Carolina Together website, the new Student Community Standards report said UNC received 456 reports of violations to the guidelines from August 1st through October 31st. This period includes when many students returned to the Chapel Hill campus for in-person instruction before an outbreak of positive cases caused the semester to go remote. Of those referrals, 324 resulted in developmental action, like written warnings, education interventions, or restrictions to recreational resources. 60 cases were found to have no violation or insufficient information. UNC Chancellor for Student Affairs Amy Johnson says the data provides a comprehensive view of students' compliance with the university standards, which is inherent to students' enrollment status. While off-campus parties and gatherings garnered much attention during the buildup to in-person classes, she says it is clear students are, quote, overwhelmingly adhering to the community health standards.
What we know from the data and the contact tracing is the significant majority of our cases came from much more sort of intimate gatherings, students who lived in congregate housing in groups of 6 or 8 or 10, and one person became infected and it quickly spread.
In August, the spread of COVID-19 within residence hall communities led to several positive clusters being reported. Since then, the university has announced a plan for reduced student population, required testing procedures, and single-room occupancy for residence halls to allow in-person instruction for the spring semester. While those plans address students living on campus, many students are still living off campus within the community. Testing of such students shows the off-campus community still reports handfuls of positive tests each week. Executive Director of Off-Campus Student Life and Community Partnerships, Aaron Bockenheimer, keeps in touch with such students living in the community. He says conversations his office has reveal students are often exposed to COVID-19 during smaller, intimate gatherings, despite following the university's guidance when outside of their living space.
you know, I think our students are working very hard to do that. And we see, similar challenges with our students that we see in the broader community in terms of just remembering to do that and adhering to doing that, even in small gathering groups where you might feel a greater sense of safety and security. It's still important to understand that that's what really prevents spread, even in small gathering groups.
With this new quarterly report, Bockenheimer says he hopes all Carolina students will be able to get a visual representation of the accountability to following UNC standards. While most students in the Chapel Hill area do abide by public health guidelines, he says the report may be a positive reinforcement to those actions.
Students, and really anybody in the community, needs to perceive that there are going to be clear and consistent outcomes and accountability for failure to adhere to expectations. And that can be a very powerful prevention mechanism in the community. And so it doesn't mean they need to be severe. It means they need to be fair and consistent and clear.
Johnson agrees, saying the university's goal of educating students on the health risks instead of actively punishing them is key to ultimately protecting the community.
One of the things that we are so mindful of, having dealt with various public health issues in higher education over our careers in this period, is that you don't enforce your way out of a public health crisis. And so at the end of the day, I think this speaks to the fact that we are focusing our efforts on educating our community about why we have the community standards and why it's important to adhere to them and what the effects are.
Links to the full student community standards report can be found on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Turning to the public schools, Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools are about to get a new permanent superintendent. The school board is holding a special meeting this coming Monday, the 23rd, to announce the name of the hire. Jim Cosby has been serving as interim superintendent since June. Over to the Orange County School District, the school board there has signed off on a $10,000 bonus for their superintendent, Monique Felder, for her work navigating through COVID-19. Harold Sun reporting that today. And the Wake County School Board just down the road has signed off on a plan to return students to the classroom for the spring semester. Elementary school students will have in-person classes every day. Middle and high school students will be in classrooms every third week. Other state-level news, home sales on the Outer Banks are booming in the midst of COVID-19 as folks look for less populated places to get away. Realtors out there say home sales this year will break a record they set all the way back in 2005. Further west, a task force in Asheville has recommended the removal of a giant Confederate monument right downtown. That's a 50-foot monument honoring Zebulon Vance, a Confederate officer who served as North Carolina's governor during the Civil War. And back locally, police in Hillsborough are seeking information about vandalism that occurred over the weekend at Cates Creek Park. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras with more on that.
According to the town of Hillsborough, vandalism to Cates Creek Park occurred sometime between Friday night and Saturday morning. Damage included destruction of a hand sanitizer station, a child changing station, and a toilet paper container. Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver said the destruction of town property is both sad and disappointing, especially given the current community strife spurred on by the pandemic.
There's a lot of struggle right now, and so it's the kind of thing when this happens, you just kind of want to say, why? You know, why would anyone do such a thing?
Police have estimated damage to the hand sanitizer station and restroom facilities to be about $1,000. In addition to restroom damages, property vandalism included the destruction of books and a little library, which was built and installed by an Eagle Scout last fall. Weaver said, while restroom damages can be fixed, the handmade library that was destroyed is irreplaceable.
You know, it's a bummer, and that $1,000 is going to go to fix all of those things. And the, you know, hard work that Eagle Scout, you know, can't get back is, that could have gone to so many other little projects that we're in need of, but have had to put off, because of our budget restrictions.
The town said park restrooms will be closed until further notice to allow for repairs. Anyone with information about the vandalism is asked to contact Hillsborough Police. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
And finally, in nonprofit news, happy trails to Cordelia Heaney, who's been executive director of the Compass Center for Women and Families for the last 5 years. This week, she announced she's stepping down at the end of January. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. Good academic news this week for UNC sports. The NCAA released its annual graduation success rates, measuring graduation rates over a six-year period. UNC topped 90% for the second straight year. 91% to be exact, and that's the percentage of UNC athletes who entered in 2013 and either graduated within 6 years or transferred or turned pro. Speaking of turning pro, tonight is NBA draft night. All eyes locally on Carolina freshman sensation Cole Anthony. Most mock drafts have him going later in the first round. If that plays out, he will be the 53rd first-round draft pick in UNC history. In football, individual honors for a pair of Tar Heels. Quarterback Sam Howell was named Davey O'Brien National Quarterback of the Week for his record-setting effort against Wake Forest. And running back Javonte Williams has been added to the watch list for the Maxwell Award, which goes to the top college football player in the nation. In women's basketball, senior center Janelle Bailey has been named to the preseason watch list for the Wade Trophy. That goes to the National Player of the Year. Their season gets underway in a week. Finally, UNC's athletics department today announced a new partnership with the National Fitness Foundation to promote youth sports across the U.S. That initiative is called the National Youth Sports Strategy. UNC is the first NCAA institution to participate.